Yeah, I think that what we need to do is just to be extra careful to make sure that however it's worded, that it doesn't look like that we are showing any sort of preference as a committee to any certain stations that often get in a lot of false statements that may go out, or in people's passion for Pacifica, they'll say, why does this station always get this? Or why is this station doing that? And we all have to suffer, that kind of thing. So I'd rather try to minimize any of the favoritism that may pop up from people that are just very passionate about their stations. I think I want to make sure that if there's a station that is considered distressed and they are paying less in their central services, that they are held accountable for the amount that is not being paid. I mean, I think that the years and years of not paying central services, the dollar amount to that is so great at this point. I mean, in my world, it's just kind of a write-off as a business loss. And we just have to kind of start fresh, but we have to make sure that those stations, we do keep track of that and they are accountable. And I want to make sure that if there is any station that is paying less in central services, that we do have a clear-cut line as to what is considered distressed, how long do we let this go forward? And almost in a way that we're putting the stations on a like what would be an employee improvement plan, but on a grander level. So whether it's a budget improvement plan or a revenue improvement plan or something, that we're really working closely with the station, not as a just like you would if there was an employee on a PIP, that you really work with them to create realistic timelines and and this is where committees would would be very where help would be needed to work with the staff and work with the fundraising and make sure that we're giving them every opportunity they can to try to improve what their what their revenue is without constantly just cutting expenses, but really be able to put them on that timeline and take a look at their budget on a regular basis so we can anticipate if there's any shortfalls. And again, trying to be proactive rather than reactive in case they're running, falling short on something. I just, want to make sure that again, this committee isn't blamed for any sort of favoritism, but that there really is a method behind what this plan is.
Thank you for that response, Stephanie. And again, I'm gonna maybe sharpen this question a little bit for you, as I did for Chris. The idea of a more general distressed station exemption, if you will, in the future could be another matter for dealing with at a later time. And but now just dealing with this as a one-time only recognition of the distress that are at the two stations, KPFK and WBAI, and passing something pretty simple and straightforward tonight so that, again, we can get those budgets that we've already approved pending the adoption of a central services formula. And then the stations that are still coming forward with their budgets can plug in this formula, this amount, this 15%, and then we can just go ahead and pass the budgets as they come to us. Are you okay with that idea?
Yeah, I do still think though that on the budget itself, even if it's in an additional, a column that we add, that we do show that what the dollar amount should be, but we have within the revenue, we can somehow balance it out so the revenue, the expenses for central services should be at the 15%, but then we can balance it out with another line item as, distressed station exemption. So it shows on
Right.
the books that it was originally supposed to be 15%, but that they're getting an exemption for a certain amount of time. And so it is reflective in the budget.
Yeah, and I think that's good.
Just to get proof to show that, proof that we're not showing any sort of favoritism.
Yes, and as Chris pointed out the last time he was here, all the stations in the network at different times in history have been distressed. And so a formula like that would be useful going forward. Hopefully, we want to be optimistic and say that'll never happen again. But one good recession could put us all in a lot of trouble. So yeah, let's work that out. But again, so we'd be adding that column this time around, I guess you're saying, and then really maybe we don't have to readdress it in the future. We just follow that template.
Correct.
Okay. Is there, why don't we open this up to general discussion, and then I hope we can get busy putting some language down that our Paul can record for us so we can get a motion out of this conversation tonight. I heard you, Beth. Let me hear our Paul.
Yeah.
Go ahead, our Paul.
I have that motion from what it's now more than 2 years ago. I don't know if everybody has it. I could send it to the mailing list again right now. Why don't I just send it to the mailing list right now, and maybe we could, looking at it here, it looks like substituting a little bits here and there would suffice for what people are talking about. I'm going to send this in, and we should maybe use that as a the template to try and do this. I'll do that now.
Why don't you do that? Send that around, and then we can see what everybody thinks about that. And now I want to take another stack while our Paul is doing that. I hear Beth. Anyone else?
McFadden in the stack.
McFadden.
Anyone else? I heard you, McFadden. Thank you. Anybody else?
Did you hear Julie?
I did not. Julie, I got you. Now? Anyone else while our Paul is sending that? Who was that?
It has been sent.
Oh, good. Got it. Gotcha, our Paul. I haven't gotten it yet. Beth, why don't you go ahead with your comments while we wait for everybody to get it?
Thank you. Yes. I suggest that if stations are to be held accountable as the ED describes, then it seems only realistic to factor into that equation whether the station has been adequately provided what it needs to succeed, such as in the case of KPFK and its current predicament, effective, consistent management they can rely on over time so that plans can be made and carried out, and we don't fall into the state of freefall we've been in for two full years now with a long string of interim after interim after interim general manager, because that's a recipe for a disaster. Thank you.
Gotcha, Beth. Can people report to me on whether they've gotten our Paul's email?
Received.
Okay, thank you, Kamal. I'm just checking my own.
I got it.
Oh, I got it too. Very good. Okay. Then we had McFadden on the stack. Go ahead, McFadden.
So I just want to make sure, I mean, the point of the central services is something that's going to go into our proposed budgets for each year, and with the expectation that those central services are paid at the rate that's in the proposed budget. And so we're halfway through this fiscal year, and I'm assuming, but I'm not positive because I haven't looked back at it, that there may be a station that is in distress that hasn't paid any central services this year. That may not be true, but I'm going to guess that it might be for at least one of the distress stations. And which means it's going to be paying central services going forward, since we're halfway through it, basically the full rate, because this is what they're going to budget for the whole year, I assume. It's not that they didn't pay it for the first 6 months, and then they're going to pay at 8% for the second 6 months, which would average to 4%. It's that they're going to pay at 15% for the second. 6 months. And I just want to make sure that's what's going in there. This is a calculated number that goes into their proposed budget. And also, and it's something that we, when we do the fiscal numbers monthly, that they actually have to send in. Is that, am I correct in that, or am I missing something here?
Are you, can you direct your question to someone?
I assume that, well, whoever is putting forth this motion or this variation, you know, so I don't know if that's you or Chris or Stephanie, but whoever understands what this, I want to make sure that I understand what this means, because right now I'm not sure.
James, I think I can answer the question.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So I think McFadden's actually basically correct, because if the distressed stations were to say that the formula is 8% starting the beginning of the fiscal year, then all those missed payments would go into an accrual column. And so effectively, they would weigh against the station for the year. However, I think that the way that that James is hoping this actually works in reality is that that the budgets are constructed on a monthly basis, and you just basically say, okay, well, we missed 6 months, and let's make the next 6 months. So I think that both halves of James's McFadden statements are actually correct, that it would effectively be I'm going to use the word taxing just for purposes of the discussion, taxing the station at 8% for the year. But in effect, they would only be paying 4% because they're only going to make the last six payments. And I'm speaking with I'm speaking optimistically there, right? Because they are struggling to make any payments right now, as already been suggested. I'm assuming that we're both talking about the same station. I haven't reviewed the financials since the beginning of the year, by the way. So everything I say is just hypothetical. But assuming that we're both talking about the same situation, I think that is how it would play out.
But let me just make sure I understand. I mean, if going forward they don't, if they haven't made a payment for the last 6 months, and going forward it says, well, they only have to pay at 8%, and they don't pay, then it's not, you know, and it seems like this is just, in that sense, it becomes more of a bookkeeping issue for saying, well, they're not missing, they're not going in arrears as much on central services is really all it amounts to, unless they're somehow held to that central services. And I don't know if we have, I mean, we haven't had any way to hold any stations to force them to pay those in the past. And so I'm not sure that in the end, if those stations continue to be distressed and they can't pay their central services, how this really helps other than being kind of a airbrushing the numbers.
And I would love to reply to this one as well.
Go ahead, Chris.
So, thank you.
I'm going to reply myself.
Okay. This is actually to say that this discussion has come up often on the NFC would be understating the matter considerably. And yes, I think you're right on both counts again, that it is essentially a window dressing exercise. But at the same time, you know, stations are held to account for what they can and cannot do. And basically what we have here is a proposal to hold stations halfway accountable that are under distress and hold other stations that are doing better to the higher standard. And I think there's some logic in that. And I think there is also accountability as long as the remaining balance ends up somewhere, and the balance sheet seems to make the most sense to me. I would also point out that if we truly are migrating system-wide to Great Plains, which I understand that we are, that accounting is going to wait for the end of the year anyway. So the most visible aspect of operations to all of you, the profit and loss statement, is going to reflect exactly what we're talking about here. And I think that that's actually a reasonable way of doing this whole thing, that, you know, everybody is basically held to the same standard, but that, you know, we are making at least a bookkeeping exception to the stations that are in distress and allowing them to kind of skate until they can get their footing. And you're right that ultimately it doesn't matter. If you look at the entire system organizationally, there are a certain amount of central services getting paid and there are a certain amount that is not getting paid, and that, you know, that there's no mechanism to hold those stations accountable. However, I will point out one thing in that, and that's the argument is almost true, but it's not completely true. And when it is not completely true is when a major bequest comes through, and that's happened a few times. And when that happens, what the stations generally do, it's they're by no means, actually they may be obligated now. I think there was a motion to this effect, but I might be wrong about this. The stations,
motion. You're right.
Yeah, the stations. Yes, the FJC motion forces a certain amount of this revenue to go a certain place and the rest of it to go other places. And I think that if we are going to alleviate ourselves of the FJC loan, which is something that's solidly on the table at this point and moving forward, that motion could be revisited with the absence of FJC, and that money could go to pay arrear central services. Pretty much in the case of all stations, because almost all stations at this juncture, maybe all, I don't know. At this point, I don't know. But the majority, I'll just put it that way, of stations have arrears, central service arrears. And this would help with that, that when they got windfall profit, that a certain percentage of it, instead of being paid back to a lender, could be paid back to the coffers of Pacifica to bolster it and make it a more viable organism going forward. And I think that idea really makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. And also, I think that is actually how it would play out. I mean, I'm just guessing based on my minimal institutional knowledge of the organization at this point. So I'm not sure that it's entirely true that those central services that are in arrears would never get paid. I think that's historically untrue, and I think that's probably going to be untrue in the future as well.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. And I will point out, I think it was probably 2 years ago now, when WBAI got a $200,000 bequest, they sent the entire amount to this national office for payment of that year's central services. And so I think, you know, there's some evidence that more than just a percent could go to the national office for past arrearages, but, you know, substantial amounts, if not more, can go to the national office for arrearages. I don't think we necessarily have to write that into the resolution. I want to say there is another way to do this, and that is just have all revenue come through the central office, and they deduct 15% off the top, and then the stations get what's left. That would be anathema to our structure and to our members, I think. So, you know, that's completely unrealistic. But what we're doing here is tightening up. Without going to that extreme, we're tightening up on, you know, the leeway that stations have to just spend their money at will without regard to central services. So, let's see, we had McFadden. I know Julie's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, I mean, it's on this same point, which is that if we're going to give a station a break because they happen to be, you know, one of the stations that is currently on having financial difficulties, I think we ought to, like, make it, in some sense, the same way, you know, Stephanie's analogy to putting an employee who's not performing well on a PIP, you know, that we ought to have kind of like a graduated thing where, you know, the first thing you get is you get a slightly reduced central service payment, perhaps, but, you know, you have to agree to undertake certain kinds of things that are going to bring up your revenues or cut your costs, expenses, et cetera. You know, and that it's like, you know, in exchange for an even bigger break in your central services, you know, you have to undertake even more efforts, right? And I would just like to see us kind of, if we're going to give a station a break, that they have to articulate a plan for how they're going to get back in, you know, good financial health, because that's the real key thing. You know, the problem that Pacific is facing right now is really that, you know, because too many stations have hit financial tough times lately, we've depleted the resources that were in the national office, you know, which came from years and years of stations paying central services. And now there's nothing left in the well, right? And so the trick is for there to be kind of this, when you're doing, you know, and I appreciate that, you know, the stations that have, you know, found themselves behind on central services, then when they get, you know, a bequest that they hadn't anticipated or what have you, that they use that to, you know, kind of pay down their central services arrearage, because that kind of then, you know, fills the well back up, or partially, to keep that analogy going. And so that's the key important thing, is that stations get it, that they do have to pay that back, because, you know, the pickle we're in right now is that there's not enough water in the well for us to help the stations that are going through rough patches, right? I mean, KPFK is going through a rough patch, right? They're going to come out the other side, but the problem is, it's not, you know, and I know Beth is, you know, likes to point out that, you know, KPFK hasn't had a permanent GM for several years now, but the fact is, you know, if we'd have resources to help KPFK out if only all of the other stations hadn't also hit the skids at the same time, right? And so that's the thing that we really need to work on, is making sure that we're keeping multiple stations from hitting the skids at the same time, right? And that, I mean, Jim Dingaman in PNB meetings often points out that, you know, that's really about listenership, and we've got to, you know, get our listenership numbers up, and that's really about putting on the kind of programming that people care about, you know, which isn't to say that that's not what we're doing now. It's just that we're not doing enough of the kind of programming that enough different people care about, so that we're, you know, it doesn't help us to have people who listen 24/7 if they're a small group of people. You know, we need to get more listeners who are going to give us money because they're attracted to some kinds of programs that we're putting on the air. But in the meantime, you know, we've got to have agreements with the stations that are going to get breaks on central services, so that the GM and the PD or whoever else is in management at those stations can share that with all the programmers, you know, and all the other station staff and the LSB and everybody else, and say, no, look, this is what we really have to do. And it can have a way of getting people to focus on, you know, what their particular problem is. Is it too many expenses? Is it too little revenue? Some combination, et cetera. And that's, I just want to, you know, make clear that I think without a written document about or plan for how they're going to improve their finances, it really is pointless to give. I mean, I don't like the idea. I'm not in favor of giving stations essential services break without that. I want to be clear. All right. Thanks. Sorry.
I have a question for you, Julie. In terms of tonight and trying to get this passed again, so we can get the budgets we've passed already passed through the PNB, that seems like a heavy lift that we're working on in other contexts, but also in the NFC, and, you know, in actually monitoring the implementation of the budgets and creating the budgets. Is that something that you feel like we need to do tonight with this motion, or is that something that you see being an ongoing process that we do not only as a network, but as the NFC monitoring the budgets?
I think what we can do is, in tonight's motion, put something as simple as stations that get a break on their central services payments have to have a written plan for how they're going to improve their financial prospects. You know, just make it as simple as that.
So in other words, now...
And then obviously the monitoring goes on over time. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, rather than pass this tonight, we would have to wait until the stations come back with a written plan?
No. The motion that we would pass tonight would include a clause that says, and the stations that get a break over the 15%, maybe I need to look at the wording of the, I'm sorry, I'm doing my date shot too, because
our polls are right.
You know, if you include a clause that says something to that effect, then that just means that's an action that's going to have to take place. It's not, you know, it's that the central services formula will be based on 15% of total revenue calculated accordingly. So now we're also going to put something in there that says a couple of stations get a break, right?
Got it.
Or were we not doing that tonight?
Yeah, I'm hoping we are doing that tonight. We need to get this done so we can get the budget passed.
Yeah. So I'm just saying add a clause that says the stations that don't pay, that are going to, you know, submit budgets not based on 15% central service payment have to submit a written plan. Give them 30 days.
Sure.
And then the NFC would over time monitor how they're doing against their plan.
Good. It's kind of like an elaboration on the budget. I get that. It's a special elaboration for distressed stations. Yeah. That's good.
Right.
I like that.
That's right. And it's getting them to identify what do they think are their bigger problems and what are their priorities? Not, you know, we're going to fix everything, right? Because that's, if everything's important, nothing's important.
Our right. Paul for stat?
Yeah, I heard you, Paul, but I heard McFadden first.
Oh.
Okay. So go ahead, McFadden.
What I'd like to know, you know, I'm trying to think about, like, how we can ensure that even if they get a break, that they'll make some payments, or, you know, we'll be just, they'll get the break and it'll be a paper thing. So it seems, you know, and I was thinking about what Julie just said, and this is something I brought up before, but it would be beneficial if budgets included a descope budget if they're not meeting their goals, and, you know, and perhaps the request for, you know, to be able to get this break would to have a budget with a descope option. And if they're not meeting their goals, they got to do those descope options or they're back up to the 15%. And that's going to be what's going to be held against them long term and is going to be removed from any major, you know, it just seems like we need, you know, there needs to be some kind of way to make sure that something is done when budgets, aren't met. There needs to be a cut or, you know, and I'm sure there's easy ways to upscope, but we have to have descope in there, and they got to be in there to implement right away, you know, when things don't come out as planned. And so that might be one way is to, for a station to get this break, they have to have a descope plan that's going to get implemented, you know, within a month of when they start show they're not meeting their goals. And that would be that means layoffs or cuts to contractors or whatever, that would have to be implemented, you know, with the ED pressuring the GMs to do those, that implementation.
Chris to the stack.
Okay, I got you, Chris. Let's go to our Paul right now.
Okay. While we've been doing this, I've been, cutting and putting stuff into that 2-year-old motion. But while I'm doing this, I'm hearing the other contingent suggestions of must have a plan, have to have this. And this other stuff is coming in, and people are able to articulate it in a couple of paragraphs and know what they mean. But putting that into motion language is not all that easy. And given the hour, I would suggest that we not do this tonight, that we wait till the next meeting when people can actually look at the motion and then try to plug in their various different ideas for how it should work. And then we can tackle this next time where the motion language is there, rather than hashing it out and taking an hour and a half to try and do it and then saying, 6 months from now, gee, I wish we'd done that motion a little better. So I'm going to suggest that we have a basis of it with the 15%, 8% for distressed, but these other contingent items, there's more than one, and I think those need to be added carefully and looked at, because just throwing them in will change everything in the central services, the way central services are dealt with. So I'm just making a suggestion that we make the motion next meeting, and that be it, okay? That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Paul, I'm going to ask you, is that a motion in itself?
That can't be a motion. You can't make a motion and not have a motion. I'm simply making a suggestion, that's all.
Yeah. I have a suggestion as well, kind of a competing one. So,
so why don't you go ahead? You're next.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. So I have a counter proposal, and that's that we make the distressed station standing a separate motion. In other words, I think it's important to describe exactly what that means. Probably should have something to do with the operating margin of the station, but I don't know. I mean, it needs some thought. And then once a station applies and receives that credit, then they're subject to certain criterion as well, like oversight, for example, special oversight by the NFC or by the executive director or something. Because I think James is right. Organizationally, Pacific is a basket of carrots and no sticks. We have a lot of positive incentives for stations, but we very rarely have any punitive things that are done until it's a crisis. We operate by crisis management. When a station's revenue drops 50%, we do something. But when it drops 20%, we don't do anything. We talk about it. I mean, that's been kind of the historical practice anyway. And I think there's some justification for that as long as the rest of the organization is healthy. But we need kind of a set of criterion to judge what stations are truly distressed and which stations are just kind of, looking, because I can tell you right now that most stations would rather pay 8% than 15, right? So, figuring out how to do that, I think, would be a really good idea. I'm not sure how crazy I am about folding it into the motion, however. So I think there is a bit of thought that needs to be had on all of this. I was about to send something over just as far as a pared down version of the original motion that James was suggesting, but I can see that this distress station standing and what the consequences of that are, both positive and negative, for the individual stations that opt for that is going to become an item of discussion, unfortunately, and as it always has, candidly, since the very beginning of the central services formula. And we should probably have that discussion. I mean, it's kind of a painful discussion to have. You know, there's a lot of hurt and injury on all sides associated with it, but I think it deserves a good airing, and unfortunately, there's just no time to do it. So I'm siding with RPAL on that part of the on that part of the issue for sure.
Okay, thank you, Chris. And yeah, I'm going to take note of the time. It is now 10:13. We are 2 minutes, or probably 1 minute and change from our time certain. And it's pretty clear to me we're not going to get a motion out of this tonight. So I think it's probably well taken that we should take this back. We should circulate on our list and, you know, with Stephanie on our National Finance Committee list, and with Stephanie and Chris being copied. And hammer this out some more prior to our next meeting. And I will also note that our last item that we had on our agenda was a select budget timeline, which we have not gotten to. And I don't think we can just do that in 2 minutes, although I'm personally in favor of just picking one and then working with it. Did I hear our Paul making a noise there?
Yes, you did.
Okay, was that a request for the stack?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. All right. I guess we'll agree to work on this in the interim and come back to this item at our next meeting, unless there's an objection, and we'll take up hopefully the budget timeline as well at that time. Any more comments from anyone?
No objection. Postponement to the next meeting.
Okay, so we'll have to carry this on to the next meeting. And in the meantime, it's hopefully some of the stations who haven't sent budgets in yet are continuing to work on them, and we'll be getting them. And it's very good to hear from Stephanie that she's working with Markeisha and the stations as they work on their budgets for the current year. They're also working on for the next year so that we can hopefully do that prior to the beginning of the fiscal year. All right. I think at this point now we should unless I'll give one more chance for anyone else to speak up. Anyone else have a comment? Hearing none, I'm going to declare us adjourned, being that we are at our time certain. All right, see you all next time.
See you next time.
Thanks all. Good night.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.